Hello, everybody. You're back here with Drinks with Friends and your host, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Ryan. What's cracking, everybody? It's a lovely Sunday. Spring appears to have sprung. I probably shouldn't say that too loud before I'm going to get teabagged by winter again.
I heard it was snowing last night in some places, but that's...
Yeah, but that's here, not here. Right. I care about here.
It's also St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Woo!
I'm like 1/38th Irish, so
so if I can get real personal,
yeah,
for a minute, St. Patrick's Day, to me, the holiday is Riley's conception day.
Bruh.
Yeah. I'll tell the story. I don't give a fuck. She don't listen to the show like that anyway. Not consistently.
Yeah.
All those years ago, I guess it would be 9 years ago now, we were broke. We were young and broke. It's like, yeah, we got like 10 bucks. You're trying to go out for St. Patrick's Day. You're trying to stay home for St. Patrick's Day. We stayed home. And then December 17th, my lovely bouncing bundle of joy came into this world. Happy St. Patty's Day.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
Now you know a little bit more about that guy.
Ooh.
Right? Yeah.
Ooh. I'm going to roast that boy next I see him.
No, we made the responsible decision.
Yeah, no. It's just too funny to not.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
It should be his
he gonna be like, Dad, why does he keep calling me a leprechaun?
And I'm like, it's because you're little. You got a little.
Woo! And of course, this podcast is made possible with some help from our friends over at Andro DSM, Power Up,
and Susie Sweet Treats. Seek ingredient is love,
not cocaine.
Shout out to Susie. She is at a bridal expo right now, showing off her wares, trying to get some people to come in. And she got all kinds of samples and stuff.
Well, you know what's really exciting? Susie Sweet Treats is also a major benefactor of the Gods and Monsters show.
That's right. I'll actually be working her booth for the show.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, so she's setting up a booth. There's going to be cupcakes and cookies and all types of sweet treats made with love.
That's right.
And not cocaine.
Hit her up after the show for some of those. Just kidding. Jokes.
Which is really exciting, like, to have that support and obviously, like, get people all jacked up on sugar,
you know,
before, after.
See a dope show.
In the show. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, get some tasty treats.
Yeah, take some home with you so you can reminisce about the dope show whilst eating more tasty treats. Enjoy yourself. It's a big deal. The show's going to be a big deal. The sponsorship's going to be a big deal. We're doing big things for the city, for the youth. And props to you, sir, for getting it all to come together.
Hey,
we're in crunch time.
So. I appreciate that. Mm. And I think that brings us to the topic of today's show, is we're going to talk a little bit about gods and monsters.
Hey.
You know, the thing is, yeah, community outreach has always been really important, you know. There's that really, like, kind of cliche adage about, you know, like, being the change you wish to see, or, like,
right,
you know, be for others what you wish you had. Yeah. And that's exactly, like, I really took that to heart. And I was thinking about, you know, when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, like, the example that I wish I could have had, or the experiences that I wish I could have been a part of. Mm. And now, being a grown entertainer and performer, like, to actually provide those platforms and those experiences,
right?
Like, that's the, you know, that's like, I think the real special thing is, like, how can we facilitate that? You know, I've been working with shout out to Lincoln High School theater department and the thespians over there. Mm-hmm. You know, met some really just excellent and wonderful kids,
Mr. Williams,
yeah,
and the crew.
That's right. They're so, like, you can feel that family vibe, you know what I mean? Like they really are, like, in it together.
Yeah.
And it's like, when it's being done well and being done right, like, that's what these programs are really supposed to be all about.
Yeah.
And especially since, you know, theater, music, art programs are usually the first thing to get slashed.
Yeah.
Like,
even though study after study says that they're wildly important to a well-rounded education and help kids excel in more traditional learning avenues. But, you know, whatever. I'm just a taxpayer and parent, but that doesn't matter. So,
you know,
bruh.
Right. You know? And especially theater skills are like life skills. You're always performing, whether you're in the office, whether you're, you work at the bank, you work at the McDonald's, like you're playing a role.
Yeah.
People are asking you.
Constantly adapting.
Yeah. And your ability to take that information and be able to tell a story or to interact and engage people and do these kinds of things. Like, these are, like my mother's an attorney. And when she steps into a courtroom or, she's having to negotiate some contracts or whatever, like, she's definitely, becoming an actress,
right,
in the role that she needs to play, is like whether it's being the ball buster or like being the generous, kind of good cop bad cop, yeah, scenario, right?
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, in all industries, the theater arts are completely applicable. So that being said, giving kids like that an opportunity to really see those things in action, to help maybe like stoke the fires of their dreams and not be like, hey, like what you're doing matters, even though you might be 14, 15, 16, like what you're doing matters for your life right now.
Build that foundation.
Yeah. And we're working with the Harding Breakers.
Yep.
They're a breakdancing group out of Harding Middle School.
Yeah. Young B-boys and B-girls.
They went to the White House back during the Obama years.
Right.
Part of like the Turnaround Arts program. It's like a national thing.
Yeah.
And legit, they linked up with Cal Penn.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe better known as...
Kumar,
yeah. My favorite Indian pothead.
I mean.
They got to dance in Washington, D.C., and meet the First Lady and all these really dope things. Mm-hmm. And it's that same thing that we've been talking about maybe since the inception of this show and beyond, is like there's so much dope stuff happening here in Des Moines. You just have to open your eyes.
Absolutely.
And see what's good.
And be willing to accept it.
Yeah, yeah. It's this notion of it's out there is so passe. It's like, what are we doing here? What are we doing now?
Yeah.
And to see these kids like rehearse. Yo, I sat in on a few of their rehearsals. Like, these kids are fearless, bruh.
Yeah.
Dude, like, so first off, they're probably like at least like 20 to 25 in the Harding Breakers.
Yeah.
Various ages. And there are also some younger ones from like elementary school, right? They get in there. And, like, their instructor, very popular local b-boy, Asan, puts on those old-school breaker jams, and the kids just, like, practice.
Yeah.
Watching them flip again and again, working on their flexibility, watching this girl try to hit that worm across, you know what I mean? Like, it's like all those little things where it's, like, you see that kind of one-upsmanship, that kind of friendly competition, but also that encouragement of like, oh no, try it again. Like, do it like this. You know, if you tuck and tighten, and then you can get that full rotation on that windmill. Mm. Those little things like that, like watching that crew come together.
Yeah.
And then they battle, you know what I mean? Like, right. They have that back and forth. Like, they're getting the elements of the culture, which I think is like, so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I wish
we
had some shit like that when we were
right,
kids.
Right, because we definitely did.
Yeah. So. But at the same time, I have to ask, like, you think it's like that weird gentrification of jazz? Like, it's like the high school jazz band. Right? Which in 1960 would have been dope as fuck. But today you're like, that's... You in a jazz band? Aw, you corny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, until you realize how fucking hard jazz is.
I mean,
as the high school jazz band, you're probably a virgin. Or in some really freaky shit with some other jazz bands. I feel like those were the two sides of that coin. For real talk. But no, I think that's dope. It's cool to see the youth that are really building towards something. People are always calling kids lazy and shit nowadays. To see them out there doing something not only physical but artistic, and for a great cause, is awesome. So
yeah,
looking forward to seeing them do their thing.
Yeah. So that being said, every ticket is a little more coin in the Breakers bank account.
Yep.
we're making a donation to their events, because, you know, they do battles, they do stuff to also, like, uplift their community and be involved. So, you know, we wanted to, like, support that too. So, obviously, the more tickets we sell,
the better contribution.
Yeah. Like the, and I think we're also setting up a donation, like booth for them as well. So if you want to dig a little extra, throw some extra change their way, whatever. Yeah. You know, got a few extra bucks in your pocket. You know, every little bit helps these kids.
Helps the kids, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe the children are the future.
So let me ask you, like I've been like in the thick of it now for a few months.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions about this process? Do you have any questions about how all this comes together or about the show or whatever?
The process, not so much, because I've been observing and, you know, I've had my hand in some of the stuff too. I am geeked to see, how's the space working out for you? Have you done the rehearsal in the Temple Theater and stuff?
We did a walkthrough.
Yeah.
So in the industry, the spaces like this are called small rooms.
Right.
The notion of taking an arena-style concept and shrinking it down to a small room experience, mm-hmm. I think is so cool.
Yeah.
Because like, one of the things that I hate about going to these arena gigs is, like, it's too big, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're so far away, like...
You miss half the cool shit that they do in the show because you just
there's
can't
no nuance.
Take it all. Right.
You yeah. It's all flashing lights. Actually, you know, I was having this conversation, like, when you get to that level, there's no such thing as a bad show at that point.
Yeah.
Either you're into it or you're not. I mean, it's not saying that you have to like everything you see, but, like, there are too many moving parts. There's too many dollars invested for there to actually be a bad show.
Right, unless your sound just completely goes out.
Yeah, like yeah, exactly. Barring any kind of act of God scenario.
Right.
Like, you're going to get a good show.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And so that notion of being able to bring something of that quality, of that intention, but to still have the personal kind of touch, mm-hmm. I think that's cool as shit. Like,
yeah.
That's actually the thing that I might be most geeked about, is like be able to actually have that more direct thing. You know, the front row, legit, like we could high five each other.
Nice.
There are no barriers. There's none of that weird like stuff where it's like, oh, you're close, but really you're still 15 feet out.
I fully expect a high five during the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not crowd surfing. Too fat for that. I also have trust issues.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Plus, you know, people get gropey. Yeah.
These are facts.
Yeah.
Facts. My dude Troy was like, if you need a bodyguard, like, I got you. I was like, okay, Kevin Costner. I'm about to ride on your back like Prince in the 80s.
Yeah.
If you're cool with that, you got the job.
Onward.
Let's go, Tauntaun. No, but that kind of proximity, you know, where you can see the sweat and the diction, and, you know, it's like all those little things that really, like, I think pulls people in and really makes that kind of connection, as opposed to seeing this thing off in the distance.
Right.
It's way over there.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more shows like that. And it's that same kind of spirit of, like, making the thing that I wish I could have seen.
Right.
That's why there's all the video game stuff. That's why there's all the Japanese stuff. There's, you know...
Yeah. I mean, this is basically your vision. Like, this is what you want in a show, which is admirable. We have similar tastes, so I feel like this should be a good time.
Yo. That's actually been, like, the big, like, turning point, you know, in the conversation. Like, oh, you're doing a thing? Okay.
Yeah.
And then they look at like the promo stuff. And like, is that the Mega Man template? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I am Mega Man.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like we go in deep.
Right.
And you can see like the twinkle in the eyes when you mention those things and you push those buttons.
Well, yeah, you hit the nerd button, the nostalgia button.
Yeah,
all that stuff.
It's the stuff like facts, like this isn't a marketing ploy. Like this is the shit that I grew up on, the stuff that I love.
Yeah.
It's like when I sat down with Patrick, it was the question of like, so what, as you had said, like what is the show that I wanted to see?
Mm.
And then build the thing that I wanted to see. And it's kind of like sitting back and thinking about like the covers, thinking about the visual aesthetic, thinking about all those kinds of details and those elements, it was like, oh man, I'd be so hyped if I saw that.
Yeah.
Awesome, we're doing that.
Yeah.
Like, so that I can actually come in with some genuine excitement about what we're doing.
Right.
You know?
Because, like, I mean, you always enjoy performing more if it's something that you're emotionally attached to.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And then also just like the Broadway covers, you know, like I think I'm a little geeked about, you know, singing, like, we're doing Seasons of Love at some point in the show.
Yeah.
We're also covering My Shot, sort of,
yeah,
from Hamilton.
A remix?
Oh, it's definitely the remix.
Yeah.
So for our listeners that may not know, I don't know why you wouldn't know this if you're like into this kind of stuff, but Lin-Manuel Miranda, it's Puerto Rican.
Right.
A New Yorker, but, you know, Puerto Rican by heritage. His first big show was In the Heights.
Yeah.
Which is definitely, like, sharing that New York Latino narrative, which is dope. I wish that was his big breakthrough, not Hamilton, but it is what it is. In this remix, we wanted to pay like an homage to that piece of his heritage. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely like a reggaeton break,
nice,
which is so dope.
Yeah.
Like, we get to that like literally every time the band goes, hey, as soon as that beat drops, yeah, it's like, oh!
He did just break it to a Milli Rock for you, for those of y'all who are listening.
This is facts.
On every block.
It was a cross of a Milli Rock and a salsa step.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, sitting down. Sitting down. Milli Rock.
Yeah, well. Watch the footwork, bro. Watch the footwork. All right, so we're going to take a break. And actually, in this break, that guy, Rye, is going to get an exclusive peek into one of our rehearsals.
Because I'm special.
And so on the back half, we're going to unpack what you are about to see, sir.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Cool.
All right.
And we're back after a nice, robust rehearsal. What do you think?
I'm excited. It was definitely solid. You guys are throwing in a lot of little fun touches. And I think I'm excited to see the total package with the lights and the full band and everything. So, it was solid. I think it's going to be a good time. Man, get your tickets.
So, bottom line, get those tickets. No, any highlights? I mean, you didn't get to see the whole thing, but you got a nice sampler. Of the experience.
Of course, highlight for me is the shout out to G. I'm definitely geeked to see that come together, and hopefully the people will all be into it. Will participate, because there's some crowd participation vibes that are.
Listen, bro, I'm real stubborn.
Yeah.
When I say do this thing, I won't sing another note
until y'all
get on board. Like,
yeah, that's what's up.
Everybody,
yeah,
even you in the back, ma'am, I'm looking right at yo, bro. Like, a little flashback, like years ago, I used to do that, like get into that kind of thing. I'm like, I'm not going any further. I said, everybody, put your hands up, sir. Are you too cool to put your hands up? I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Look me in my eyes. Are you too cool to put your hands up? Because your girl put her hands up.
It's a good thing I wasn't at that show, because I'd be that guy. Because I'm just combative like
right,
that.
Right.
But no, I think that would be a good time. Let's see. I don't want to spoil it, but you threw in something that seemed to be a new thing that should translate well to the show. Even the band was excited about that part. So I think that would be a good time.
Real talk. I have such a love, like a deep love for jazz.
Yeah.
Not specifically maybe the mechanics of jazz as much as the spirit of jazz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's something that's so punk about it. That's like, okay, so here's like this idea, and then you just kind of make it up as you go.
Right.
You know, obviously you work together, but there's still this like space to go, all right, so you do this thing.
Yeah.
What is that? I don't know. You just figure it out.
Yeah, work it out.
I love the unpredictability about like, oh, cool, we're in this groove. What new elements can we introduce that make you go, oh, okay.
See, I don't think you can be a fan of the spirit of jazz without being a fan of the mechanics of jazz, because jazz musicians are some of the most well-rounded, consummate musicians you're ever going to run into.
Oh, yeah, no, your theory has to be, like...
on point.
Yeah.
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 And shoulders.
What can I play? What can I play?
Right.
Right.
You got to know
exactly
how things fit together, and otherwise you're just going to be making noise. So yeah, the nuance is very important. And I think that that's going to be a highlight of the show. And then there's a nice little part in the finale that I got to hear the pieces of.
Yeah.
That I think will surprise a lot of people. So, yeah, I mean, if y'all are looking for a good time, you want some surprises, you want to have something that's going to hit those nostalgia feels, as well as give you a taste of something new, be there.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate you, checking it out and coming and hang out with us and taking a listen. So let me ask you this. Compared to the combinations I've had in the past, mm-hmm. where do you feel like this new group, the Finesse, kind of fits in your memory or in the experiences you've seen shows before?
I think you found a group that is happy to be a group.
Mm.
Which is important, because I know the Single Ladies had a couple people who had frontman aspirations of their own.
Mm.
No shade, just, that was a long time ago too. So
yeah.
Like the musicians, quite frankly, were younger. And I think there's that point where when you're young, everybody's ego kind of gets to that point where you want to be like center of attention.
Yeah.
And so now,
give me my shine.
Right. And so now that you're older, and then you have some backing members of the band that are older and more comfortable with themselves, I think it translates well as a band. Everybody knows what they're doing, which is also a great thing. that's very, very important. Yeah, it's a good one. And y'all are tighter than the last band. I know you brought one of the members over. Shout out Scotty. But yeah, y'all are definitely a tighter... that's a tight feel compared to the previous show.
Yeah, there's something like... For me, it was like there's this necessary kind of like passing of the torch, in a sense. The ability to put young players with seasoned ones.
Right.
Because that's how the younger ones get better.
True.
Like, with a quickness, too.
Yeah.
It's like when you have to step up your game to just hang.
Right.
You're going to come out on the other side better than you came in.
Absolutely.
And so, like...
It's like that veteran presence on, like,
yeah,
the sports team.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Like, you gotta have that one that's, like, showing those young guns, like, how this really goes.
Right.
So having Alicia as the music director, even though she's in her early 20s, she's got great musical chops.
Absolutely.
And by putting her in a leadership position of these veterans, it's going to make her an even greater player than she already is. Like, she's got her theory down. Mm-hmm. She's got this crazy perfect pitch thing. She was also on an episode of Wheel of Fortune this week.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so dope. That's like low key one of my dreams. Like, just because I feel like I would clean up.
Yeah.
I know people say like, oh yeah, their pressure's dip. Like, nah. Unless I'm spending bankrupts, I'm gonna win that shit.
Right. only bad luck would stop you.
That's there's just the only, like, and for me, especially, like, I learned how to read off Wheel of Fortune. Like, when I was little, my mom worked nights, and I would stay with my grandmother, and we would watch Wheel of Fortune, like, every day. And so I was watching Wheel of Fortune at night and then reading the newspaper with my granddad in the morning, so I knew how to read at 3 because of Wheel of Fortune and the Des Moines Register. Shout out to both of them.
Hey,
And
facts.
My grandparents, the village. so, yes, absolutely, Wheel of Fortune, that's super dope. And I'm like, yo, I need some tips on how to get in that thing,
because
I'm trying to, win my kids' college tuition. Let's call it what it is.
Right? Yo, like, on that episode, some people cleaned up and definitely walked away with 5 figures.
Yeah.
I
with the utmost confidence, think I could pull 50 G's on Wheel of Fortune.
Again, with good luck. The luck of the spin.
Right. As long as the wheel works in my favor, I could pull 50 G's off Wheel of Fortune.
Like, yeah, so that was crazy dope. But it was really funny, because she, like, low-key gave herself a shout-out, and she's like, oh, yeah, like... I play, you know, music in Des Moines. I'm a music director. Da, da, da. I was like, yeah. Get it, girl. Hey. And then she hit Sajak with like, and I have perfect pitch. And he was like, what? And he's like, you know, the thing, da, da, da. She gave him what the notes were.
Nice.
And you know, and when Vanna touches the screens, that's an F.
That's so dope. Like, that's so dope.
And you can just see a look up at like,
well, all right then. I wasn't okay. ready for that.
Right?
Learned something new today.
Basically, I'm going to teach you Pat Sajak.
That's dope.
So that was so cool. But no, the thing is, like, so she definitely has, like, these really inherent gifts.
Yeah.
She's a church player. Mm-hmm. She's got that anointing on her. You know what I mean?
Right.
The clergy kid, you know? But there's still that learning curve of, like, you still gotta kind of pay your dues and get some new experiences under your belt as far as like how to, you know, work and find your pocket and that working together and all that kind of thing, but also having a sense of like the overall kind of arrangement and how all those kind of pieces work together.
Mm-hmm.
She has an affinity for composing and arranging, and like that's where her. Like, that's where her zhuzh really is.
Yeah.
And that's so dope because, in my experience, I've not met a whole lot of musicians where that's the game they want to play.
Right.
You know, like, like you mentioned before, you get those, you know, you get those younger ones that, like, have the ego-driven thing, whether it's about sex, fame, access, power, whatever those things are. It's not really about music.
Right.
You know, it's...
money.
Get money.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, right? Then to have someone who's like has a passion to make the big picture,
right?
Like that's a
big deal.
That is a big deal, and you know, also just
those are the ones who are remembered in history,
right? Right, and you know, and the thing is also it's like how we empower other like black women, right?
Mm.
It's the notion like. So I was talking with Krista, my manager, and she's always kind of been on my case about like, you know, you talk about inclusion, like what are you doing? Are you walking the walk?
Yeah.
Like, are you really, you know, and part of it is also like, unfortunately, there's this huge void in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't women producing a whole lot of work. There aren't women engineering a lot of work.
Right.
Or composing, you know, like... Unfortunately, this industry has like forced a lot of women into being the image and not a whole lot more.
Right.
Or if they're a songwriter, you know, it's like behind the scenes kind of thing, and it doesn't get much further than that.
Right. Unless they have a certain level of like sex appeal or whatever that they feel that they can market.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's like, oh well, you're
not even necessarily sex appeal, but marketability. Like if they don't have the look
or whatever that even means.
Right.
And then, like, you see someone like, let's say, Esperanza Spalding. She's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
As a personality, as a talent, as an artist, she's incredible.
Absolutely.
But then they put her in some kind of, like, niche
situation.
Like, oh, she only plays jazz. And it's like, so you force her into this, like, you reduce her in a sense.
Yeah.
Oh, she only does jazz. So, like, there's no way she can do, you know... big festival gigs or be a true headliner in the sense, unless it's a jazz based event.
Yeah.
So she's not
going to be neo soul.
Yeah. She's not going to be on, you know, Kiss FM. She's not going to be in those spaces.
Even though musically she's leagues apart.
from her peers. Bro, seriously. And even like her fashion sense and her personality, like all those things, she's hitting all those things that you would expect from any pop star.
Right.
But she happens to play bass. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so then, she's reduced. And so to bring this back around, there's always been this push or this voice in the team in my ear that's always like, yo, you're going to be about it. Do it. Right. Find those people and like give them the space and empower them. That's why like Ray Davis, you know, as our opening act, like, you know, she's a good friend of mine. We've done a lot of work together. Like I deeply, deeply respect her as a human being and as a musician. And it's like, so then why not give that space to her to do that thing?
Absolutely.
She'll be joining me for a duet in the show as well. You know? So it's like being able to do that kind of stuff. Having a woman run the music side of the show, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's that thing.
Right.
Like pull us together. No, she's the boss.
Yeah.
You listen to her, follow her, whatever she wants to do, follow her. just we can walk that walk and talk that talk and like make that happen, because you know maybe she takes these experiences and then it translates into something greater as she kind of, you know, comes into her destiny as a musician, as a composer, as a whatever she wants to be. And then like Rudy King Wild,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
he's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's got that rock and roll thing.
Yeah.
Like he also looks like Donald Glover.
Mm. Yeah, I see.
But it's also that, again, it's about that representation. Yep. You know, like it's like that black boy joy thing.
Yeah.
You know, like he's living his best life, he's doing his thing, he's expressing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't fit into like that kind of expectation of what people think of when you hear a young black man doing music.
Right.
He's out in his own lane doing his own thing.
Absolutely.
You know, and so my sincere hope is that like kind of in the like, so some of my favorites to kind of go back to jazz, you know, is like Miles Davis, mm-hmm. you know, Coltrane. Like when you really look back at that stuff, like those combos were like all-star teams.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you're like, oh, and then you got Thelonious Monk on the keys and, you know, mm-hmm. Cannonball Adderley on the drums or whatever. And you're like, yeah. Wait, you got who on the what?
Yeah.
You know, or when Miles had his second coming in the 70s, you know, he had Herbie Hancock in the group. And he had Wayne Shorter in the group, who mm-hmm. then ended up becoming their own kind of jazz
like legends in their own right.
Yeah. And that hope is that like pulling a group like this together is that there are some other stars that will shine in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
In that not in the non-competitive kind of way of like, yo, go out and be great.
Oh yeah.
Because we'll all be great. We're all right. gonna eat. We're all gonna right. be successful.
And then who knows, you know, 10, 15 years down the line, y'all can do a reunion show,
some experience. Mega show.
Exactly. Yeah. I get tickets for that. That'd be
fun. Speaking of getting tickets, everybody go get tickets to this show.
Drop a website.
Well, you can actually use a bit.ly.
Yeah.
bit.ly/gm_ticks. If you want to do it more officially, you can go to dmpa.org and you can find Gods and Monsters like in the temple lineup, and you can follow those links. There are some cool price breaks. If you buy two tickets, you get the second ticket for half price. If you buy four tickets, you only pay for three of them. The fourth will be counted as free. So, like, you know, like make it a date night. Make it a double date night. Mm-hmm. Like, get your friends together. Like, come and do this thing and, like...
Make it a family night.
Yeah,
kids are welcome.
Yeah, kids are welcome. Like all that. And, so check that out. 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. Temple Theater. Saturday, March 23rd. It's going to be an incredible night.
Yeah. I'm ready.
And
are
also,
you ready?
There's also an after party.
Hey.
Let's talk about this after party.
Right? All right, let's talk about the after party. You got your own drink.
Yo! It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's a light beer.
Refreshing.
It's a craft beer,
mm-hmm.
which is like, it definitely speaks to the hipster in me,
mm-hmm.
you know? The ABV is 6.2%.
Okay.
So it's nice and potent.
Right.
But light and smooth and fruity.
Mm-hmm.
Brewed right here in Des Moines at the Court Avenue Brewery Company. Right after the show, after the 8 o'clock show, we'll be having our after party. It's open to the public,
mm-hmm.
free to attend. We're keeping that kitchen open because I'm going to be hungry. We have pizza. I'm going to have some apple crisp. I'm just thinking on my own.
I keep hearing about this apple crisp.
Listen, man, the Cabco apple crisp is like the truth.
We shall see.
Don't sleep on it.
Yeah.
But I love desserts.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it's open to the public. Like come in and hang out. Come check it out. Like just come and kick it and have some snacks, have some drinks. Come meet the band. You know, the networking opportunities. Like, and this is the other thing. It's like to speak on the point of like, you know, creating these relationships with other artists. Like, could they need to be at these kinds of things?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is how you meet the movers and shakers that will actually help take their careers to the next.
Yes.
Actual step.
Yeah.
You know, like, and this is, I say this with no ego. This has nothing to do with me. It's people like Pat. It's mm-hmm. people like Max. You know, like, we've invited so many people from the theater and music community to be a part of this thing, like, who are producing records, who are doing these big tours, who are, like, really actually doing the work mm-hmm. and not bragging about it and not trying to flex. you know, that they put a single out, like, yeah. which is cool. Like, you got to start somewhere.
Good for you.
But the notion of, like, okay, so you did a single, now what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of traction is it getting? You know, do you really have a following? Or, you know, are you actually, like, doing the building blocks, you know, to have longevity? Meeting the right people can start to put those pieces together. How to do a bigger show. How to do something that really lands and matters in the community. You know, like, the big takeaway from this is, like, the way we're working together with, like, Pyramid Theater,
mm-hmm.
the way we're working together with One Iowa, you know, we're getting, you know, with Cabco and Fighting Burrito, like, the schools, the, you know, like, all pulling all of these community spheres together for a night of art and music and entertainment, you know, like how do you actually do that and consistently do that and keep building your scene and building a consistent chain of wins?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta come participate.
It starts with meeting people.
You gotta come meet people and come talk and
smiles and handshakes. Bro. Still matter.
Yo, yo, facts.
Whoa.
That human interaction will take you far. So come join us. It'll be a good time. I'll be there as your favorite co-host. We'll be hanging out, eating food, having drinks, reminiscing about the great show that you're about to put on. So support local art, support the youth. Shout out to the Harvey Breakers. Let's get the kids some money so they can keep doing great things and keep educating our kids and giving them better options than what else could be out there. So
facts.
Do the right thing. Come hang out. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Hey. This podcast, of course, is brought to you by Android DSM. Power up.
And Susie Sweet Treats. Seek ingredient is love, not cocaine. I guess next week we're also going to have a special treat because we will be recording with the Finesse at the cast party. So that one's not open to the public. Y'all are invited. I'll be there because I'm special.
y'all can listen.
But yeah, you can hear all about it. So yeah, see y'all next week. Same black time.
Same black channel.
All right. Peace.